Welcome to On Being Happier, Thinking with Heart and Mind, a podcast dedicated to the idea that full human thinking balances the heart's warmth and love with the mind's intellectual capacities. We naturally think with our hearts wherever we care the most, whether with our family, with our friends, or even with our pets. Language reminds us of the importance of the heart, not putting our heart into something or doing something half-heartedly means we didn't do it well. And to be called heartless is not a compliment. Hi, my name is Ron Schneebaum. I'm a pediatrician, and for the past 14 years, I worked at the outpatient arm of the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth and served on the clinical faculty at Dartmouth College's School of Medicine. After a 40-year career as a physician, a career I thoroughly enjoyed, I retired to dedicate my full time to teaching the fruits of what I learned through my practice and my personal life. As we increasingly think with our hearts as well as with our minds, we'll discover that we found a way to be happier than most people imagine possible. The ideas in this podcast are based on common sense and practical experience. They require no special belief system or practice. Each episode provides a different aspect of thinking with heart and mind. Together, I hope they present a full picture. I accept no advertising for this podcast, and I make no money from it. It is my way of giving back. Because of your sharing, this podcast is listened to worldwide. I am so grateful. The ideas in this podcast are my own, and the stories have been changed to protect privacy. These episodes are not a substitute for medical advice. If you are dealing with significant psychological issues, please seek professional help. I thank you so much for joining this growing community. All my very best, and be well, Ron. Mental well-being with heart and mind. Part 2 of 2. In the first of this two-part series, we address the issue of mental well-being by looking at how we function in the outer world, both with our day-to-day responsibilities and also with our relationships. If we feel good about these, we'll feel good about ourselves. There's another aspect of our mental well-being, and that has to do with how we feel about ourselves independent of our successes in the outer world. Someone can be highly successful outwardly, but inwardly feel empty. This issue will be addressed by looking at the topic from several angles. Some of us suffered through very difficult childhood experiences, and we were taught that we are unloved and even unlovable. They were either told this, or they learned it through the actions of their caretakers. When this becomes internalized, it can lead to a view of oneself that can last a lifetime. The idea, though, that one can be unworthy of being loved is a completely false notion. I learned the false nature of this through my time in the newborn nursery, where I see parents with their newborns fall completely in love. This love is so present, it's almost within reach. I mention this because these babies didn't do anything to earn that love. They just exist. If you don't have children, you might have experienced this with a pet, where you love the pet not because of what they do, you just love them. Further, if we look at babies, there are some who are born sick, either premature, have other medical problems, and some even have birth-related challenges. Parents of these babies love them just as much as healthy newborns. They might even love them more. So these babies not only didn't do anything to earn love, they are, in a certain sense, in the negative column. They have problems, and the parents love them. If something happened to a baby's parents, and the baby had to be raised by someone else, and imagine that person had all kinds of psychological problems and issues, and couldn't raise that child with the love it would have gotten or that it deserved. Does that mean in any way that the child is unlovable? Of course not. That means that all babies are worthy of being loved, whether they were raised by a family that gave them that love or not. So that means that we are all deserving of love, independent of how we were raised and the conditions that we were raised in. Our next step, then, is to be able to fill ourselves with this love. But before we can do that, we have to have a sense of what it is that we're talking about and whether it's something we're all capable of experiencing. One way I think of it as a fire within, a fire that strengthens us and a fire that gives warmth and light to others around us. It's transcendent and it's universal, crossing cultures and history. Reading a story or seeing a piece of art that's based in heartfelt love would be recognized across cultures and across time. It touches us in that same place in our heart, independent of its source. Whether we're all capable of experiencing it and living with this can be seen by the following story. Imagine that we were walking through a park on a beautiful Saturday morning in the summer. It was fairly early, not many people were in the park, and we saw a 5-year-old sitting on a bench alone crying. We would stop what we were doing, try to find out what happened, and we would deal with the problem and bring it to some kind of resolution. If we couldn't find the child's caretaker, we would involve the police if we had to leave. We would make sure the problem was solved before we left. We acted in the way we did because we thought with both our hearts and our minds. With our minds, we knew that a young child shouldn't be without a caretaker, and our hearts led us to feel compassion toward the child. When we feel compassion, love is within us, because compassion is love made manifest. As mentally intact human beings, we all have the capacity to be compassionate. Whether we use it or not, and how much we use it, is akin to our ability to speak a second language. We all have that ability, but how much we use it is our choice. As a pediatrician working with children for over 40 years, and through my own personal experience, it's clear to me that the desire to feel loved is the psyche's number one driving force. If we don't feel loved, we'll act in certain ways that don't quite sound the right note. We might seek praise, but receiving praise isn't receiving love. On the flip side, we might become depressed, or we could become angry at those who have what we wished we had. If feeling loved is so vital, how then do we bring this experience into our being so that we carry it as an inner and alive flame? Two analogies can help to understand this. Suppose we were driving our car, and we discovered while we were driving that we were very low in gas. And if we completely ran out of gas, we would pull over, find out where a gas station was. It was close enough we might walk to it. We might call a roadside service organization, or we might call a friend to come and help us out. If we want to be filled with love, we don't reach for it in that way. It doesn't happen like that. A better image would be imagine inheriting a cabin on a hillside that had been abandoned and hadn't been lived in for a very long time. And we got to see it. We saw it was in a beautiful setting and all of its windows were boarded up. After checking to see that everything in the interior was okay, we would take off the boards so that we freed up the windows and let the sun and light shine in. That's a better image of what it's like to open to love. It's really to open to love, to make it so that love can fill us. And now we'll look at multiple ways of filling ourselves with love. The first two allow love to enter us directly. This heart-based love is at the core of religious and spiritual practices. So if we have an active religious or spiritual practice, we can use that and ask love to fill us. We can do this during times of meditation or prayer, or we can do it when we're lying down in bed and before we fall asleep. We can fill ourselves with this love, and we can carry it with us. Love is universal, as we said earlier. It's not limited to a religious or spiritual practice. So we can use a different technique to have this love join us, one that I find extremely helpful. Imagine a time when you felt the presence of love. It could be during a recent event, or it could be that you have to go way back in your memory to find a time when you felt filled with love. It could be that the memory you have is one of petting a beloved dog or cat. That's okay. It doesn't matter how brief the moment was. It doesn't matter how far back it was. And it doesn't matter whether it's common in your life. What you want to do is just remember a time when you experienced love. Once you have that memory, focus on it, but particularly focus on that feeling of love. As you work with it, let go of the circumstances that brought about that feeling and just focus on that feeling of love and feel yourself filled with it. Do this at any time during the day when you have some quiet time, or I find it most helpful to do this before I go to sleep at night and before I open my eyes in the morning. This practice was reviewed in depth in bonus episode 9A. I will post a link to it in this episode's show notes. Work with this if it makes sense to you. It really is quite wonderful. Love is also present when we connect with another human being. I like to use an analogy to understand this. And so here, imagine that you're listening to someone who's telling you about a problem that they have, and this problem is really quite concerning for them. And as you listen, nothing else is on your mind but their story, and you try to hear it so that you feel it. After listening, even without saying anything, it's common for the other person to say, "Thank you for listening. I feel so much better." Sometimes through that, you can come to an insight or an understanding, but it's just that space alone is helpful. When we connect with another, love is present. We feel stronger and more human. We can also work on changing ourselves so that we create greater connections and allow love to be present. We might realize that we can be a little less grumpy, a little less cranky, a little more open. I've got a friend who in his 70s decided to take up the flute. He thought that he was a little too harsh, a little too close-minded, and he thought by playing the flute, he might become more open. You could do that. You could do any drawing, any creative activity, and see if that helps to open you. We also can work on being more loving by being conscious of it. If we think of certain relationships that we have or certain settings that we have, we can, before that setting arises, we can think to ourselves, how do I want to be in this situation? Suppose we're going home after a day of work and we have young children. One of the things that I did sometimes and would have done more if I was more thoughtful about it would be to think to myself, when I go home, my children experience that God is coming home. And what does God do? God's a little bit cranky, a little bit tired, and God wants to change. Instead of doing that, I'd bring a sweatsuit to work and a little snack so I could change, have something to eat so I wouldn't be so hungry and cranky when I got home. If I was a meditator, have a brief meditation. I could do some breath work if that's what I do, or I could go for a short run. A simpler thing that I find is wonderfully helpful, before I go to any situation where I care, I close my eyes, get quiet for a moment, and ask love to join me. I've never had this fail. We also prepare ourselves for love in a very different way, by feeling good about ourselves and doing the things that help us feel good about ourselves. By that, I mean very practical things like getting enough sleep, getting the amount of exercise that makes us feel okay, and also doing the things that we like to do, making sure we enjoy our lives. If we take this love within and think of it as a tool, we can then take on the challenge of thinking with both our hearts and our minds. When we think with our hearts, we imagine this a situation from the perspective of another person, and while understanding that viewpoint, ask what is the most loving thing that I could do in this setting or situation. If I do that, I not only bring love to multiple settings, I develop richer and deeper relationships, and as in the example of compassion, by serving love, love also grows within me. I feel stronger, more powerful, and enjoy my life more. It's the art of living well. I develop these podcasts because the idea of thinking with heart and mind is something that I believe is very important. I believe it's important to individuals, and I believe it's important to our society and culture in general. I created three exercises for interested listeners. These allow you to review the content of the episode and to think about how the ideas apply to your own life. And these will be in the episode's show notes. The first exercise is to go over the concept that independent of our background and the way we were raised, that we are deserving of love and that we can receive love. The second is to look at the idea that where we make inner connections with friends and family members and people we meet, that love is there. Think about your various relationships and consider what you can do to connect with them and to allow love to be present. In addition, look at the ways you can work on yourself to make yourself more available to love. The third exercise is to think of the idea of using love as a tool, almost like a fire starter, and seeing where it is that you can ignite love in various settings and situations. If you find this content, this talking about love, is helpful, pass it on to others. If you know anyone who you think could use a bit more love in their lives, pass it on to them. Pass it on to friends, pass it on to family members, pass it on to therapists, to people in the clergy, pass it on to anyone who you think would enjoy this. Because of your sharing, as I mentioned in the introduction, this podcast is listened to around the world, and it really is only because of your sharing, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm also working on the idea of being happier on other social media platforms, in YouTube, in TikTok, and in Instagram. I haven't got those fully developed yet. This is now the middle of November. They will be in place within the next month, certainly by Christmas time. I look forward to you joining me there. I so enjoy our time together. If you have any questions, you can go to the website for this podcast, onbeinghappier.com, and send me an email at ron@onbeinghappier.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you like this, subscribe to the podcast or follow it. That way you'll be notified whenever a new episode drops. In addition, go to Apple Podcasts and rate it and review it. That way, others who might be interested in it will more readily find it. I hope you've enjoyed the new music. It's written and played by Brett Wahlberg. Thank you so much, Brett. I look forward to being with you again at the next episode. Until then, all my very best, and be well, Ron.